All right, welcome everyone. This is our election night war room. Tonight we're joined by Joey Nicholson. Joey is a certified life coach and a member of the Chester County Reentry Coalition, where he is actively working to solidify his role as a pathfinder, a name that speaks for himself itself. His work emphasizes reentry plans for success, making individuals set daily goals to achieve greater goals. This structured approach is designed to help reentrants stay focused and build long-term success. Joy's mission is to implement this system at all levels of probation and parole for prisoners, as it should be a necessity to keep reentrant life structured and organized. His Pathfinder curriculum has the potential to transform lives, and while we are on the verge of implementing it in correctional facilities across Pennsylvania, our primary focus is on laying a solid foundation for its success. Joy's partnership with Sergeant Lloyd Douglas is a crucial element of this journey. They're now lifelong brothers, as they call each other. Anyway, Joey and I have been working on some long-term war room strategies, and so I'm a big fan, and he's got a lot of other ideas that he wants to share to us in the future, but I told him that tonight we should probably keep it fairly simple and not keep people a long time, otherwise they'll be mad at me.
Yeah.
Anyway, Joey, take it away.
All right, cool. Good evening, everyone. Thank you, Anne and Women Against Registry for creating this platform. My name is Joseph Nicholson, and tonight on this election night, I'm not just here to introduce myself. I'm here to share a vision for justice, a vision that reaches beyond punishment, labels, and isolation. One that I believe will resonate deeply with every person striving for dignity, empathy, and transformative change. This is a vision I believe our communities and our country, especially on a night like tonight, are ready to embrace. I come from Downingtown, Pennsylvania, a town where football isn't just a game. It's woven into the fabric of our lives. It's the pulse of the community, a unifying rhythm that brings everyone together. And playing quarterback under those Friday night lights wasn't just about football. It was about carrying the pride of a whole town. The pride extended to my love of music, too. And my brother Petey and I, we created a music sound that went beyond the boundaries of our hometown and resonated worldwide. We didn't just dream of putting our sound out there, we did it. Our tracks played in the UK, Germany, France, Belgium, Italy, Ireland, Croatia, and Japan. And the effects of our beats reached people from all walks of life. We even took the stage at the Maximo Techno Festival in Milan, Italy in 2009, performing in front of 35,000 people. Our journey took us straight from our kitchen in our home to that massive crowd. But at 23, everything changed. I was charged with a relationship involving a 15-year-old girl and with the solicitation of her two 16-year-old friends. I had envisioned bringing them out to California where we would build a unique family, a family that I thought would bring us all a sense of belonging. However, I took advantage of their young, impressionable minds, influencing them with a vision of life that would ultimately harm when it would help. This actually landed me in prison for 14 years, being a deep stain in my life and a town I once loved, casting a dark cloud over my reputation and the relationships I had in Downingtown. The consequences of this conviction were heavy and lasting. My actions led to a series of legal battles, charges, and labels that became burdens that I had to bear and eventually I had to confront. This experience, however, didn't define me. It only challenged me to look deeper within and to redefine who I could become. After 14 years away, when I returned to Downingtown, I was greeted with open arms. This acceptance speaks volumes about the person I was before these events transpired and the willingness of my community to look beyond my past mistakes. They knew me as the person, they welcomed me as the person they knew, the person I had always been, despite the labels that I carried. Their support rekindled my sense of purpose, pushing me to advocate for others who have been marginalized and labeled in ways that strip dignity from the human spirit. During my 14 years in prison, I faced the choice: let my conviction define me or find a way to redefine myself. I created Pathfinder, which is a program that grew from my own transformation, a journey of self-reflection, accountability, and structured growth. Pathfinder didn't just help me. For 9 years, I used it to help others around me, guiding them to reclaim their sense of purpose. Pathfinder is not just a program, it's a grassroots movement that shows people they are more than their past. These titles, Certified Professional Life Coach, Certified Professional Mindset Coordinator, Pathfinder, Reentry Specialist, Confidence Advocate, Graphic Designer, and Apparel Customizer, are a testament to my commitment to impact lives. These are roles I've built through hard work and dedication, reclaiming who I am and what I stand for. And this is what we should all do. Pathfinder is proof that transformation is real and possible. Upon returning home, I partner with the Chester County Reentry Coalition to launch Pathfinder as a structured program designed to reduce recidivism and support reintegration. It's about more than just helping individuals reenter society. It's about teaching dignity, accountability, and the power of human connection. I am a sex offender in the eyes of the public, labeled and stigmatized, but here I am, guiding the very system on how to treat reentrants and registrants with the respect that they deserve. For someone like me who remains on parole for the next 13 years, to be advising this coalition speaks volumes about transformation and the power of giving individuals a second chance. Lloyd Douglas, a retired sergeant of the Malvern Police Department here in Pennsylvania, has been an incredible mentor and friend in this journey. Lloyd, with over 30 years in law enforcement, brings wisdom and a commitment to change that is hard to rival. Lloyd isn't just my partner, he's like our family, a brother in this fight that is willing to speak about the treatment of people on the registry from a law enforcement perspective. And it's exactly what we need, trust me. He taught me how to recognize my worth, push me to pursue my certifications, and showed me what compassion in action looks like. Together, we're not just implementing a program, we're challenging perspectives on what true justice and reform should look like. With the support of Sergeant Lloyd, the entire Chester County Reentry Coalition, and the entire Chester County Reentry Coalition, Pathfinder is gaining real traction. Recently, I reached out to Montgomery County, Bucks County, Berks County, Lancaster County, and the Pennsylvania Reentry Council. The response was overwhelming, with the responses coming back almost immediately. This is more than just networking. It's a testament to a hunger for change across this Commonwealth, a readiness to support a reentry program that goes beyond punishment, but ran by a quote-unquote sex offender. These partnerships are doors opening to redefine justice for all of us, to uphold true reform, and to create communities where everybody has the opportunity to rebuild and renew their lives. Pathfinder is in its grassroots phase, quietly building momentum among those who have heard about it. I don't share Pathfinder with every person that I meet. It's a vision that deserves an audience ready to fully embrace it. And that's why the War Room is so special to me. This is a space where I can open up about Pathfinder in its raw, true form. And being in the War Room gives me energy, the excitement to discuss this mission with people who believe in justice reform and can relate. Here, I can share Pathfinder without holding back or without fearing judgment or skepticism. The War Room is where Pathfinder finds its heart, where it grows in the minds of people ready to make it their own. And let me tell you, support for Pathfinder is brewing in the Department of Corrections and across the Commonwealth with a temperature that's almost infernal. Interest in bringing Pathfinder into the DOC is spreading, and people are seeing that Pathfinder isn't just another reentry program. It's a transformative force with the potential to reshape lives and make communities safer by fostering true accountability and self-growth. Pathfinder is built to meet the core needs of each reentrant from the point of view of a reentrant. Its framework prioritizes daily accountability, reflection, and positive growth. Unlike standard reentry programs, it isn't about putting everyone through the same steps. It's about tailoring each part to meet individuals exactly where they are. Pathfinder encourages reentrants to look within, to embrace their own potential, and to create a path towards renewal. As Pathfinder gains traction in the DOC and communities across Pennsylvania, it's clear this program has a reach far beyond a single county or a city. It's a force for change that can transform lives, restore dignity, and help create stronger, safer communities across the Commonwealth and foster an understanding of us on the registry. Tonight on election night, we're reminded of the power of choice. This mission I'm on is not only for those on the registry or individuals coming out of prison. This mission is about something much larger. It's a movement based on thought reform, social reform, and human reform. Thought reform asks us to change our perspectives on justice, on each other, and on what's possible for ourselves and our communities. If we don't transform the way we think, the systems will keep us bound by the flaws that limit real progress. Social reform is about fostering communities that embrace and uplift rather than isolate and exclude. Human reform is about honoring each person's dignity and worth, recognizing that true transformation is not only possible, but it's essential. So alongside Pathfinder, I'm excited to be closely working with Anne on a few new concepts that we're looking to bring to the table. These ideas are brewing, much like Pathfinder did, and they aim to provide even more resources, support, and advocacy from those on the registry and others who have been marginalized. These initiatives reflect a shared vision that we believe we can bring powerful change. Continue developing these concepts, ensuring to build on a foundation of compassion, dignity, and practical impact. In researching registries in other countries, I found stark differences in approach. In the UK, Canada, and Australia, registries are not public. They're confidential, used solely by law enforcement. These nations prioritize rehabilitation over public shaming, understanding that when people have a chance to rebuild without public scrutiny, they are more likely to succeed and less likely to reoffend or offend. The public exposure here in the United States makes reintegration almost impossible, increasing the likelihood of recidivism by forcing individuals into isolation, poverty, and hopelessness. Countries with confidential registries understand that community safety is rooted in integration and support, not exclusion and shame. They use registries as tools to protect the public without dehumanizing those who have paid their dues. The U.S. has a tremendous opportunity to learn from these models and to see that real public safety is achieved through compassion and understanding, not punishment alone. And let me say this, if tonight's election doesn't go the way you hope, it's okay. You have the power to take that ballot and vote on yourself every day. Begin building a government in your own mind that works for you. Elect officials within yourself who align with your value, who support your dreams, and who represent your goals. Remember, you are more important than any person in that office. This life, your life, is yours to live. No election outcome can change that. And after everything you heard tonight, maybe I should run for president. I believe my message of hope, resilience, and transformation might resonate with the country in need of healing and unity. I'm here to bring hope, a reminder that transformation is not only possible, but it's real. I'm here to show you that we're more than our past mistakes. And I'm here to remind us all that together, we can create a justice system and a society that sees, respects, and empowers every person. Thank you.
Awesome. That was awesome. So I guess I didn't realize that you started this while you were still incarcerated.
Yeah, this has been going on for about 10 years. Wow. So it's actually called Empath. This is the original name. It changes like every day. I cannot stop changing the name of it. So I finally came up with Pathfinder, but everything has to do with the path. It'll probably change within the next 2 weeks. Because I'm carving new paths. So it changes all the time. I'm just worried about helping.
When you were still incarcerated, like you used this for your own path. Did you also share it with people that you were incarcerated 6
o'clock
with?
To 7 o'clock, it was on the call out in the prison that you could come to Pathfinder on the TC block. So I had about 60 to 70 guys like at a time, sometimes 100, sometimes 115. Dudes came to Pathfinder just to talk. It was just then it was actually called Pass the Lemonade.
Mm. All right. I'm going to remind everybody how to raise your hand. If you'd like to ask Joy a question, you go to the more button down at the bottom where it says dot, dot, dot. You click on the more button and wait, where did the more? Okay. No, that's not where it is. Maybe it's under reactions. Yes, it's under reactions. Go under reactions and then click raise hand. So I heard you say something about the three, Canada, the UK, and Australia, that have private versions of the registry.
Yep.
And you know, you kind of acted like, oh, we should learn from them. But I just want to make everybody understand they are the ones taking from us. So we are trying to export our idea. We're trying to get more and more countries to take our idea and make it their own. Those countries have agreed to take the registry, but they take it a little bit, they're taking like a light version. So it's not like they developed this great system and then we made it worse. No. We made a shitty system and they made it less shitty. So, you know, I would like us to take our guidance from the many, many, many countries that don't have a registry. Because like all of us who are very familiar with the registry, we understand that being on the registry doesn't actually impact your, it doesn't make you less likely to do bad things, right?
Yeah.
Being on the registry makes you miserable, makes it hard to find a job, makes it hard for you to find a place to live, makes it hard for you to find friends or people who will love you. And nobody does better with no housing, no job, no friends, no loved ones, no girlfriends. Like nothing about being on the registry helps us do better or helps us, you know, not reoffend. So whether it's public or private, it doesn't really change much. Like the cops having a listing of all the people who ever created, whoever burned down a building, doesn't keep people from burning down buildings, right? Having a list of all the people who ever stole something doesn't make people less likely to steal. It's just, it's counterintuitive. It doesn't make any sense to me or anyone else. So, all right, I see you put a bunch of things in the chat. You don't have a website, right, Joey? I don't understand. Anybody else having trouble hearing him? Is it all scratchy? I don't know what that's all about, but
let me see real quick. Hold on.
That too, but it looked like the captioning was getting incorrectly, so I'm not sure what it is.
Say that again, Chuck.
I said I'm also hearing the distorted audio.
Yeah,
I was looking at the captions, and the captions still seemed to be able to figure out what he was saying, even though I couldn't. So people might want to turn on the caption to.
Yeah, it happened a few times while you were talking, but most of the time it would just be a short time and we can figure it out. John's got a question.
Actually, hey, I've got two all questions. Right. Let me go ahead and ask first. In the years that I've been on the registry, in the years that I've been working and aware of groups such as WAR, NARSAL, AXAL, COSA, all of them, one thing that I've been hearing again and again and again is that reform in sex offense laws, in all aspects of sex offense laws, pushes for reforms have got to come from those on the registry as well as their families, the ones who have been affected by the collateral damage. In order to get that done, the argument has been made in several areas that what we're trying to do has got to borrow from, if not be modeled on, among other things, the civil rights movement, the women's rights movement, the LGBTQ movement. Add to that, please. That's my first question.
Well, I heard somebody say something the other day that I thought was really compelling. They were talking about, I've been talking a lot about the LGBTQ movement and how they moved us past things. And somebody the other day was talking about just the process of ending slavery. Think about how long, you know, we're very frustrated because it's been, 30 years that we've been fighting this registry. 30 years seems like forever. But I heard a speech the other day where they were talking about, you know, you think about the people who were abolitionists trying to end slavery. That took hundreds of years to end slavery, but they still managed to do it. So it made me feel a little bit better about at least how long this has taken. Joy, what do you have to say about that? Can you think of any other groups that we should model our... Oh, really? I thought he could unmute himself.
No, definitely. Like, he's 100% right. All of this stuff that I'm doing right now is modeled off of Gandhi mixed with Malcolm X, mixed with Princess Diana. There's so many people that I model my move off of. So he is 100% right. 100%. They have to follow that. Those people broke down walls that no one could see possible. So if you don't model after those people, then you're going to just run into that wall that's in front of you.
Okay.
He's 100% right.
That was my first question. Now, the second, a few weeks ago on my radio show, I had a really good conversation with a group that has a chapter here in Arkansas. You don't have chapters all over the country, but there fortunately is one here in Arkansas. It is made up of and targets people who are in the LGBTQ plus community. This particular group, and it's called Gay for Good. Again, that's Gay for Good. What they're doing in order to try to overcome the stigma, the fear that so many people have towards members of the LGBTQ community, is either to host or to participate in actual, tangible, if necessary, to use the word physical, good work. helping get food to people who need it, cleaning up after a disaster, doing things like that. Now, they are very, very careful to go with the guidelines, the rules, the regulations of the group that they're trying to help. If the group says, for example, we're going to be working with children, we do not want anyone under the age of 18, or if there are any people on the registry within your community, we do not want them to participate. This group, Gay for Good, is accepting. The question that I've got, not just for you, but let's say everyone in war, should members of the registrant community and their family try to start doing something along those lines that would help people who are ordinarily fearful, who are ordinarily about, okay, to start saying, okay, something like like I said, the group, okay, that you can count on us in time of trouble. You can turn to us in time of need. Is that going to be something from your point of view, from your experience? And again, thinking from the perspective of someone who is a registrant, is that in any way, shape, or form going to be something that would be helpful or something that the registrant community should even consider?
100%. Taking myself out of my own equation and looking at it from an unbiased perspective, which we all can do, we act like we can't. Yeah, it's 100% needed for the registrant. I would have wanted it in my situation. I wish I could have came home to something like that. I came home to nothing. I had to create it for myself, for us, you know? It's not necessarily for myself, it's for us. I had to create something for when we do get released back into society, we actually feel like we have a net that we can not feel, quote-unquote, weird in. Because we feel weird everywhere. Like, they make us feel that way. And it's time for me to call that out. I'll be like, dude, I've never been weird in my life. Like, don't make me feel weird. So you know what? I'm not going to go through this. I'm going to create my own network so no one has to feel that way.
Well, if I could go a little bit further than that, and Anne and several of the others of you, you know where you may know where I'm going with this. A registrant here in Arkansas has gone through some very, very tough times when he was released. And he decided that he did not want anyone else, certainly people who had been on the registry, to go through what he had had to experience in his first days and weeks after being released. The end result is a publication that has gotten very well received here. And that publication is called Help Yourself.
Yeah, I like that.
Now, he doesn't make it public that he's a registrant, but the response to that publication has been absolutely incredible. Everyone from the State Parole and Probation Office, not right now, but in a previous administration, all the way up to the Lieutenant Governor's office, had copies of this publication. Okay, so I'm thinking that doing something like that in more places, could that be a breakthrough in multiple places?
Yes. I like the way you think, John.
Well, what I'm going to do, I'm going to put the website where you can go and access this Help Yourself. Now, please understand, it is limited to one county here in Arkansas. But for the first time, you can go online and access it. And I'll put instructions on how you can download a PDF copy and use it for a model, to use it as a guideline in your respective areas. So let me go on ahead and do that.
Yeah, I've used that. I've sent that Help Yourself guide. I don't get a lot of calls from Arkansas, but when I do, I definitely share that.
Yeah, that sounds cool. I actually need to look that over. I want to contact someone from Help Yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I need to learn to help myself.
His contact information is on page 2.
That's fine. Nice. I'm going to get on page 2 and contact him. I need to help myself.
All right. Joey, there's a question in the chat that somebody asked me to ask you. What are the paths in your pathway program and how does it work?
It's really about just helping reentrants build action plans for success for their parole, to possibly get parole time knocked off. If you complete this goal, You have to come up with 3 to 5 goals that make sense with your sentencing judge and your parole officer, which they will, because I'll be like, why would I make them make goals that don't make any sense for a reentrant? I'm a reentrant too. That wouldn't even make sense if I tell someone to do something that's not going to be positive or beneficial for them. So they come up with about 3 to 5 goals and they try to finish that. And we work on that about 2-3 times a week with one another. So eventually I want to build teams, because I won't be able to do this by myself. I need to build teams, but that's what I'm really a master at, is building teams. I like playing the background. I don't really like being the, like, I don't like that. Like, I like playing back here.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm going to just say a couple other things from the chat. I think Michael put in the chat, John was talking about the program where this gay for good go out and do helpful things in the universe. Mike says he's been trying to volunteer and donate his time and talent for years. Even though he's no longer required to register and his registry records are sealed, his background checks are always rejected. So nobody will even let him volunteer. So when John asked the question, do you think this, like going out in the community and doing good things, would help us? I don't know that it would help us. I think it would probably cause us some, you know, they've painted us with such a nasty brush that, you know, I can imagine, you know, the press coming and taking pictures of us and saying that, you know, writing some nasty story. So I don't know that I think that's our method, but I like the help yourself.
It depends on our approach also too. Like, you know, it's what I did this at a school, and it wasn't just like 3 minor girls. It was like older people. It was like different. And these people know my story, but it depends on the approach. So what I mean, in the eyes of some people is vicious.
I bet they'd let us like go clean up a lot or something. I bet they'd let us do something where there were no people there. Maybe.
No minors.
No minors. Yeah. Yeah, there would
no
minors.
Yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm. All right. Linda, do you, or Mike, let's go, let Mike go first. And then Linda, you go next. Cause Mike got his hand up first. Where did Mike go? Mike, there he is. For some reason it won't let me unmute you. There you go. Hi Mike.
Yeah. I was the one that put the question in the chat. I have tried to work with the churches that I attend. I'm pretty much upfront with my past, you know, based on the nature, you know, because maybe I'm looking at the wrong places, but like a pregnancy crisis center where I can clean toilets, you know, I'm not really looking to engage with the public.
You're not looking to engage. So you don't ask to engage with the public and they still say no?
Yeah, I make it clear that 1999 was my offense. I've got all my paperwork in my hand showing where the judges release me. And even with all that, they're nice enough to take my phone number and my name, but I never get a call back.
They really won't let you clean toilets?
Nope. In fact, wow. I have been asked, due to the nature, you know, they have actually asked me not to step back on their property. Now, you know, I mean, so maybe it's just the town I'm in, you know, because we're only a town of 4,400 people, Facebook blast, you know, so everybody knows who I am anyway, you know. You know, it just, for what
it's obnoxious.
It's some of the barriers that I have experienced. But yeah, I can't even vacuum the carpets at our church. You know, the place that's supposed to be for second chances and redemption.
I mean, yeah, right. Isn't that the whole point of Jesus? Is like, you know, isn't he like the one who was talking to the people hanging on either side of him on the crosses and talking to the prostitutes and... Like, I mean, I don't even understand how someone calls himself Christian and then doesn't believe in forgiveness.
Yeah, it is a double standard for me. I understand that there's, you know, with all the scandals and everything, they're trying to protect their image. I get all that. But
they didn't do that when it was their priests.
Right.
I mean, right. Like for decades and decades, generations, they didn't manage it when it was their priests doing the problems.
Yeah. Well, I describe that as a pendulum effect where you turn a blind eye to it and now it's everybody. But I mean, I just wanted to kind of share that if there's some input.
Wow.
I'm actually considering heading back to where I came from. I know several people that have been incarcerated that would probably take me on in a heartbeat because they know me, you know.
Yeah, and move to a bigger city. Like Greg and I have lots of friends in St. Louis. We have lots and lots of friends. They all know he's on the registry. They know that I volunteer for war and nobody's mean to me, like, or him. People are just nice and friendly. I'm so sorry, Mike. That's awful.
Well, it's not going to beat me down or anything. It's just, you know, I'm either in the wrong place.
Yeah.
You know, or there's something in the dynamics, but I would really like to find a way to address this so that people can see that we do have value. We can contribute. Rehabilitation does work, and we don't have to destroy people for life.
Yeah.
You know, but I'll close with that. But
yeah. All right. Now I know I got a hand up, but I'm going to call on Linda and Morgan before Ken because they didn't raise their hand.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Can you hear me? Okay. My husband and I are here for support. We have had a very difficult time for over a year with the city we live in, or the town, I should say. We have been ostracized. He's a level one, and a neighbor somehow, his attorney got a hold of the information. He's telling everybody, our neighbors, everybody, we cannot even step outside our house.
This is after anymore. He assaulted me, and I tried to get it. No contact order, but that failed miserably, and I almost got in trouble for being assaulted, and they got a hold of all of my records, and
their attorney has illegally posted his entire case on a legal website, his entire case. He has even altered it. This man has posted... The county rallied behind the attacker. They're protecting him. They're blaming us for everything. And it's been a year of depression.
Yeah. The prosecutor for this county told me, don't even bother trying to sue anybody because you have a criminal record.
Yeah. There's no help here where we are. This person is not only acting criminally with harassment, but he's ruined our lives here and our reputations. And we have had no support. Sorry if I'm emotional.
You don't have to be sorry about being emotional. It hurts. Oh, that's awful.
So that's why we're here. We need to hear.
Everybody needs community. Everybody needs people in their corner. Human beings are not designed to live alone. This is why, you know, being put in solitary is so damning. This is just not good for human beings. Oh, yeah. I just sent you my phone number. Give me a call tomorrow. And I don't know where you live. I don't know if I know anybody where you live, but I've got some resources for you. Are you on Facebook by any chance?
Yes, very little, but I am. Yes. Well,
there's a little sub group called Offender's Wife Community. I don't think you can just search for it. So I think you and I will have to be friends first, and then I can send you an invite. Okay. But that can be a place, you know, it's all women who've got a loved one on the registry. And so you never, you know, people are just, you know, you just tell your sad story, and then people say, oh, I'm so sorry. And you get the empathy that you are looking for that you can't get from your neighbors because your neighbors are being assholes.
Right.
So they are. And the entire company.
I'll get you a start to at least that. And then, you know, I'll see where you live and see if I have anybody that I know in that. Yeah. So anyone who somebody else just said they'd like to be in that wife's group too. So I'm on Facebook. I'm the only Ann Crowett in the universe, I think. And so if you look for me for Incroit on Facebook and just send me a friend request. And then after you friend request me, I'll get an invite link to that to that organization, to that little subgroup, Women Offenders Wife Community, and you guys can join that group. So it's at least, I mean, I know it's just online friends, which is not quite the same as real friends, but it's better than no friends.
It is, and it's strength.
It's strength, and it's knowing that even though you feel like you're completely isolated and alone in your house, in your tiny town, there's a million people in the registry now, which means that, you know, there's probably 5 million people getting tortured and left out and, you know, people being mean to them. Yes. Yeah. I'm so sorry about all you're going through. I really wish that people weren't like this. And I don't think that I don't think they have to be like this. I don't think it's helpful.
No.
And, you know, we're, you know, I'm really this coalition that they just started pretty recently, where all the different organizations that are fighting the registry have kind of joined forces. You know, it's kind of a slow start, but I have great hope for the kinds of things that we'll be able to do when, instead of fighting each other for membership, we're saying, why are we fighting with each other? This is dumb. We should be pooling our resources. We should be sharing all of our resources, and we should be trying to join forces to combat this.
Excuse me for breaking in. Mm-hmm. I want to ask both Linda and Morgan that, for your own protection and for your future use, have you begun keeping a record of all of these incidents? Have you been able to document them, audio, video, paper, everything?
Yes.
Good. Yes.
Keep video, audio, everything.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, the sheriff's department is protecting this person.
Yeah, they won't do anything. Nobody will do anything here. Yeah. I've got all the evidence.
The police, when I was assaulted last year, the man who assaulted me practically admitted to assaulting me. He admitted that he opened up my car door. I'm blown away. I'm just
Small towns.
Yeah,
the law enforcement in small towns can just get totally out of hand. I hear this story, you know, I get about 1.5 calls a day on the 1-800 number. And I tell you, calls like this are not uncommon, especially in small towns. Because in small towns where there's just one judge, and just like, you know, a few officers, and they just prop themselves up for being jerks about stuff, and it never goes away. Yeah.
Keep documenting everything. Yep. And for safety's sake, you make multiple copies and you send at least one copy to someone you know, someone you trust. And about the small town, some time ago, I got a phone call from someone with a felony conviction in one of the northern counties in Arkansas, up by the Missouri line. And just simply, now he was not a registrant, but he was a convicted felon. And small town, the local sheriff's department people had been telling him for years that he was not going to be able to vote simply because he had a felony conviction. And that it flies in the face of what is written in our state's constitution. So I don't know if it was a sin of omission, a sin of commission, but the sheriff's department in that particular county were giving wrong and therefore illegal information.
Yes, that's happened to us. They keep falsified the documents.
Keep it documented. Keep it documented.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Ken, you've been very patient. Thank you for waiting.
Well, my heart goes out to Linda and Morgan. I mean, I'm just so sorry to hear all the problems that you have. I'm here in Nebraska, and we have similar problems with people. And it's just, what I wanted to say is that I do volunteer in our city, and I volunteer at Open Door Mission, where they don't allow any people on the registry to live there. But they know me well because I've taken time to tell them my story. And I truly don't know. I wish there was some magic wand I could wave to help you, because the suffering you're going through is just not right. And I'm sad to hear it, but I do know there are people who are very open about what they've done and go to churches, and some half throw them out, but half of them do accept them and half of them do pray for them. And I really truly know that God has helped me and helped me be a representative of those on the registry. Our group is called Nebraskans Unafraid, and we work in community. I have dinners at my house every Wednesday night. We have 8 or 10 people, sometimes 15 or 20, but it's a place where people aren't judged, where they can feel community, can share their struggles, share their problems. And I believe that it is possible to make a difference. But my heart just goes out to you. I pray to God that there will be an answer and an easier path. And the only hope I can give you is my Christian belief says Jesus suffered, and sometimes we have to suffer too.
Thank you, Larry. Yeah, it is not hard, not easy.
If I could add one more recommendation, if you have not yet done so, Linda and Morgan, if you have not yet done so, and this goes out to anyone else who may find themselves in a similar position, if you have not yet done so, you need to have security cameras at your home. You also need to have dash cams in your vehicle. You need to regularly save and again copy all that you have, if, when opportunity arises where you can use it. So if you've already done that, okay.
Yeah, the things that people do to each other, like, and they think they're being the good guy, just blows my mind sometimes. You think you're a Christian, for example, and you think that you should go out and just treat people like this. I don't even understand how you make that line up with your beliefs. It makes no sense to me.
I would like to ask our speaker, Joseph, in light of what he's been hearing us talk about for the last few minutes, what's your response? What can you add to what we've been talking about?
The only thing that I can really add, man, is keep the faith that the Creator is going to protect you and something is on its way. You guys are just going to be a part of our story to help eliminate this and stop people from doing exactly what they're doing like that. So right now, like he said, sometimes you have to go through certain periods of suffering. This is your period. Nothing's going to go any further than that. You guys just got to keep withstanding this, even though I know it's BS. I actually can't even really relate. I can just put myself in your shoes and understand the fear that's surrounding you. But everything's going to be okay here shortly. And you guys are on the right path for even acknowledging it. The minute you acknowledge it and you put it out there and we start to pray for it or, you know, add our faith to it, it adds protection to you. So everybody in this room felt some type of way towards you guys' situation. You're protected, so you're going to be all right.
Yeah, just so sorry. All right, well, if we don't have any more questions, I promise you we'd be short tonight. We're about halfway to the end of our time. Joey and John S. should hook up because John is always looking for people to go on his radio show.
Definitely.
I bet telling your Pathfinder's story on It Could Be You, I bet both of you would win there.
Yeah, and I can relate it to some like old Arkansas Razorback stuff, you know, 95, Corey Day and all those guys. I can relate to that team. So I could talk about that on the show too to make it interesting.
Nice.
I have already written down your contact information.
All right.
And and to that end, let me remind you all how to save the chat. So if somebody put, you want to get an email out of that chat or a website, let's all remember how to do that now. So open up the chat, and at the top of the chat, it'll have these three little dots. You click on the three little dots, and then you choose save chat. And that'll let you keep all these messages and emails and phone numbers. Linda and Morgan, make sure you wrote my phone number down. Give me a call tomorrow and let me see I'll at least listen. I don't know if I'll be able to, I can't solve your problem, but I could at least make you feel better about it. Maybe.
Me too. Me too. My number was in there. I definitely, you guys need to talk or any hope, I'm here, man.
Yeah.
Call
so you're
my
the
phone.
One with all the, you're all the fours and the eights. I really like your phone number. That's a good phone number. All right. Well, anyway, thank you everybody for coming. It was nice talking to you. I can't remember who I got in 2 weeks, but Larry, you got a question? Or are you just saying goodbye? All right. Good luck on this election. I'm sure that we're not going to have any answer tonight. I'm sure it'll be like sometime next week, but keep the faith, everyone. All right. Ooh, and we got a whole bunch of new messages that I got to scroll down to.
Thanks, y'all. I appreciate you guys listening. I look forward to meeting every last one of you guys in person.
There we go. All right. Love you all.
Yeah. Good love night. You guys. Peace.
Wait, is this the same address I have for Ken? Okay. All right. Have you been watching the election yet, Chuck?
No, but I guess there's supposed to be about, what, 5 or 6 states by now that should have some results, but I haven't looked at any.
I haven't looked at them either. I'm a little terrified, actually. I'm not sure I even want to go look.
Yeah, I'm kind of feeling that same way. You know, I hope it's a landslide in one direction, but I'm fearful that it might be in the other.
Yeah. I've got friends who just chose to like go camping and get off the grid, not even just take the week off and not look.
Did they vote?
They did vote. Yeah.
Good.
They voted early and then they just decided to just go camping in the woods, give themselves an extra week of like fluffy, happy joy. And I can't say that I don't see a good logic to that. And honestly, if it hadn't been for this war room, I considered just not even watching the results, just voting last week and letting the rest of it go.
Yeah, I've been really disappointed that not a single person who's voting the other way than I did,
mm-hmm.
have I been able to convince otherwise. And that I don't understand that. There's so many, I felt like I had so many convincing reasons and not anybody. And unfortunately, I know too many people that are going the other direction.
We all do.
And of course, I was really disappointed in my ballot.
In your what?
My ballot.
What was disappointing about your ballot?
Well, of course, there's the obvious president, right? And there was one Senate position that had a Democrat and a Republican. All of the other things that people were running for, about 15 or 17 different offices, different things, representatives and things, there were only Republican candidates.
Really?
One candidate. It said vote for one, and there's only one to choose from.
Wow.
And I thought, gee.
I did not know Illinois was that red.
Oh, I think it's just my
gerrymandered. Oh, just Bloomington.
No, it's not even Bloomington. It's just my gerrymandered piece of Bloomington.
Yeah. The gerrymandering is like the most obnoxious part. The combination of the way the courts have gotten just packed. And then the gerrymandering, you know, there's nothing fair about it. I don't really even get it.
Yeah. But, anyway, I'm thinking, gee, could I run? Because one of them was a House of Representatives, you know, U.S. House of Representatives, and there's only.
Really?
Yeah. And I'm like,
that's crazy.
Could I run as a Democrat? And I mean, since there is nobody running,
why not?
I would be the only one. Now, maybe the problem is I wouldn't get a single vote in this county other than my own. I don't know.
You mean that your county is so tiny that people know you?
No, I mean that apparently our county is all Republican.
Hmm.
I mean, why are there no Democrats running for any of the county offices?
Wow.
They're all listed as Republican.
Wow.
Not a single, nobody running against anybody. For any officers.
Wow.
And or judges. Or, you know, what kind of an election is that when you have no choice?
Yeah. That's
vote
that's
for not... one. Oh, there's one name there. Vote for one. There's one name there. And that's just you know, and you've told me, you know, right? Move out of this.
No, truly. Like so, I mean,
I have lived here since 1969.
Well, but
time to,
it is a lot of time, but you know, if you could find a place that you could afford in a different, in a less obnoxious community, that seems like a win.
And
I mean, you do have friends there that you like go have lunch with and stuff.
Oh, I do. I've got friends that I've known since high school.
Yeah.
And
that's a win.
Of those, a majority are the same political belief that I am. But unfortunately, a couple of them are on the other side.
Sure.
And it's like a brick wall. You can't get through it.
Yeah.
Anything.
Yeah.
And
Well, hopefully you'll win this battle with your neighbor and maybe they'll quit being such jerks.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, when they realize that they didn't actually manage to make you take down your ham radio, maybe they'll give up on being jerks to you all the time.
Well, I don't know that I've still won that. And, you know...
Well, I mean, yeah, I guess that's true. Until they come and do their inspection, there is a chance that they'll somehow win.
Right. But there is a fear that I have, and that's... it's my understanding that there is a federal law that... It's a pretty well unenforced, mostly law, but
there's something in the oven.
Nobody on the registry can have a ham radio license.
Really? Well, but that's not, they don't have a rule against it, do they?
Yes, that's what I understand, that there is.
There's a rule that says what?
You're on the registry, you cannot have a ham radio license.
Are you kidding me?
I know lots of ham radio operators that are on the registry, right? And I have been for forever. I've been on the registry 25 years. I've been a ham radio operator for 50 years. But on the ham radio license renewal exam, not exam, but the form you fill out, there's a spot on there to answer yes or no. And I always leave it blank. And, you know, I always get my renewal license. But if I honestly answered that question, I wouldn't get it.
Back up, because I had to talk to Greg for a minute. Back up and say that again.
On my renewal application, there is a box, a yes or no box, and I always leave it blank. Because
there's a box that asks you if you're on the registry?
It asks if you've ever been convicted of a felony.
Okay.
And if you say yes, and I've heard this from other hams, they said yes because 20 or 30 years ago they were.
Okay.
And that the FCC would not renew their license.
Oh,
the fact that because they have a felony and they looked it up and they found they were on their registry, they cannot have an amateur radio license anymore.
Wow.
So I always don't answer that question.
Yeah, just leave it blank.
Which potentially, I guess, if they find out, they could probably charge me with failing to provide that answer. I don't know. But, you know.
Well, I like your method of just don't ever check that box. Just don't answer it.
Right. And, thankfully, you know, it's the right hand doesn't know what the left hand's doing in the government. And in this case, that's a good thing.
Yeah.
But, you know, that was one of the things about writing this letter to the city, because I want to put in there kind of, you know, all this that I've done for the city because of these things. But what if there's someone in there that connects that together and says, oh, you shouldn't even have a license.
Yeah.
You know,
well, let's just cross our fingers that doesn't happen, because that's
this stuff for opening celebration.
I don't know if we're going to be celebrating tonight. We'll see. All right. Well, Greg just got home, so I'm going to go ahead and get off. Right. I love you, Chad.
That's the way we want it to celebrate.
Well, it looks like we've got a bottle of champagne if that happens. I'm not holding my breath.
All right. Good night.
All right. Love you, Chuck. Bye.